This is the official Rotoballs off-season podcast. Welcome, boys and girls, to the third installment of the Rotoballs off-season podcast. Today we are doing the NL and AL East. My name is Brian Dorsey. I am your host. I'm sitting here, like always, with the esteemed Ryan Butler. How's it going, Ryan?
Good.
Ryan and I just went out to dinner. Took him to Islands, you know, fancy place for a little sit down so we could talk about the podcast. And Ryan literally got four onion rings when he ordered his burger.
I did. I wanted onion rings instead of fries, and they bring me my burger, and there were four onion rings on the plate. I mean, they were good, but four? Really?
That doesn't
constitute a side.
No, in place of fries.
I mean, I ate plenty of yours and Celia's fries.
Well, because so. I got a bushel of fries.
Yeah.
And you got four rings.
Yeah, it's not exactly what I would call equitable. I shouldn't be penalized for switching out onion rings for fries, but I felt like I was.
Well, Ryan, we are also joined today with the unrefined Jared Cawthorn, who is a four-time in a row champion of our fantasy league, five-time total, though. How's it going, Jared?
Good. Having a good time being here with you guys.
And we're also sitting here with the ever-elusive Ryan Short. How's it going, Ryan?
Not bad. I came out of my hole for the night. Pleasure to be with you two fellas.
Good to have
Slippery
you.
Slippery Ryan.
Ryan and I played golf about a week ago. Week ago?
We did.
Yeah.
This past Monday.
Monday for Martin Luther King. And Ryan had some new clubs. Tested them out. How'd they work for you?
Long and straight.
Except for the four. The four.
Except for the
wood.
Four hybrid.
Yeah.
It's a little left.
A little left. Let's jump into some quick hitters before we get into the free agent signings and the NL East. Guys, what do you think about Manti Te'o?
What a weirdo. Strange story. I love it. I mean, I think it's great, you know, but especially after hearing the interview with Katie Couric, I'm even more convinced that he's full of it. And that he knew something was going on. The reasons that he gave for why he never ever met this woman face to face, and the relationship was strictly over the phone and via text messages and Twitter and things like that, just don't hold any water.
Well, there's definitely something up. I mean, there was talk about him being gay. There was talk about him being in on it. Just the way that he reacted and what he said just doesn't add up.
Like, if I'm dating a girl or I'm talking to a girl I'm supposedly so into, I'm going to find a way to see her, meet her. Face to face.
Was it 4 years?
Three.
Jared, I think. 2009. I think he met her at a Stanford game. He said.
Yeah, which he never actually did.
Never
clearly.
Met her there. Well, what's weird about it is, he's a college football player, one of the best linebackers in the country. Probably doesn't need to meet girls online. So, I don't even know what he was doing anyway. So the fact that he could be in on it could be true. Nope. But the best part about it is, do you think at one point the lie kind of got away from him a little bit? And it was easier to make up that she's dead than the fact that he had an online relationship with another guy.
Could be.
I definitely think that's probably.
And now they're
what
saying
happened.
That it might actually be a woman who was doing the voice and not a guy doing the woman's voice.
Either way, I think I just make up, oh, yeah, she's dead. Yeah, she's gone.
We are sitting gone. Here with a Notre Dame fan.
I wanted to jump in there. As the only Notre Dame fan at the table, I've watched this kid play for four straight years. I do not miss a Notre Dame game. If I can't watch it live, it's recorded. I lost respect for the kid. I call him a kid because actions speak louder than words. He cost himself an insane amount of money dropping from wherever he was going to go in the top end of the first round.
Not just that.
To probably out of the first round.
But not just that, with endorsement deals, too.
With endorsement deals. And throw all that out the water, his football game will suffer because of the pressure he's going to feel now. Now he has to produce. It's all going to be about what he does on the field. He's not going to do it.
I think he literally will be, he's going to be a bust, even though
he got
won't be
steamrolled
drafted
by Lacey in the championship game.
Yeah. Well, he also might have opened the door for a sponsorship from Match.com.
I was just going to say, that's probably the only person that's going to,
maybe
the only company that's
Christian
going.
Christian Mingle.
Oh, Christian Mingle. Christian Singles, Christian Mingle, Match. What are the other ones?
J-Date.
J-Date.
Zeusk. I don't know.
You know a lot about these.
You happen to know a lot about these websites.
Well, I live in Campo. What do you want from me?
Okay.
Butler
also lives in Campo, everybody.
But check it out. You couldn't make this up. That's why I love this story so much.
No.
It's like so sensational.
It's
so scandalous.
Biggest, it's the biggest reality soap opera.
It's the best.
And I'm not going to. I don't know what's what, but you said it yourself. I think you can't make this this stuff up.
Yeah.
I tend to believe him.
Oh my God, dude, I
you
don't.
You can't make it up.
Well, if,
it
either way, if he was duped, he's still a fool.
That's
Or
that's
if he was what, in on it,
oh.
he's crazy.
I believe that maybe initially he was duped. And, you know, young kid, got caught up. But some point along the line, somewhere along the line, he figured it out. Nobody's that stupid.
I would pay money to be in those interview rooms.
I would be like, check this out, homegirl.
I want to know what the GMs are asking. Katie Couric, of all people, said, are you gay? Put yourself in a situation. When is Katie Couric ever going to say those words on tape?
I was waiting for Oprah to ask Lance Armstrong that. She kind of missed the boat on that question.
Speaking of liars, we're going to switch to Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong admits recently, and it's not exactly news because this podcast is coming out fairly far after. But Lance Armstrong admits to Oprah that he used PEDs. Big shocker, guys, right?
Yeah, worst kept secret in sports.
Considering everyone else in the sport was doing the same thing. And pointing the finger at him. I mean, where there's...
After they got caught.
Where there's smoke, there definitely is fire. And where there's a lot of smoke, you know...
There's a big fire.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Lance Armstrong now? Does it change your perception? It doesn't change mine because I knew he was doing it anyway.
I'm glad he came out and actually finally said something because we already knew it. It's like the whole Pete Rose thing. We all knew that he gambled on baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He kept denying it for years and years and years. And what did it get him down the road when he finally admitted it? Nowhere any further. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Lance Armstrong should have came out now probably about 6-7 years ago. But
too little, too late.
Too little,
Armstrong
too late,
took
but
it
at
so far,
did.
Filing lawsuits against people, you know, saying that they were slandering him, and you know that you know libelous things were written about him, and just took it way over the
well,
top.
You just
talk about an ego
just
that's
watched.
Just out of control.
Those lawsuits that he filed against other people, they're going to come right back.
Yeah, those chickens are going to come home to roost, and he's going to owe heap big money to Floyd Landis and you know sponsors of his and
the other teammates
as
that
he
was.
Should. The United States Postal Service. That sponsored one of his, you know, writing teams. I don't know the other teams that he was on, but that one in particular had in the contract, you will not use performance-enhancing drugs. You shouldn't have to have that language in a contract. It should be
in cycling
known.
You do, yeah.
But in cycling, and as a government agency, basically.
Yeah. If they're sponsoring it, then they kind of have
absolutely.
To have it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I hope he has to pay back everything that was, you know, paid to him over the course of his career.
I think his net worth is somewhere, it's over $100 million, and he's
it was.
Could possibly owe
yeah, it was.
Just that much, if not more, in lawsuits.
Well, but you don't even want this guy as a speaker now. You see so many of the retired athletes that, you know, were champions, they get to speak for the rest of their lives because they can go to corporate America and tell you how to be a winner. This guy has nothing left.
Well,
nothing.
He
doesn't
he can
make
tell
money.
You how to be a winner. Yeah. It's just going to be cheap.
Just yeah, right.
Please, even Sheryl Crow had enough of his lies and left him. So.
Well, couldn't he crawl back to her?
I wonder if she'd take him back.
She
now
went
that
to Santa Monica Boulevard.
Yeah.
She's over.
She's over. Right.
Well, moving on from two liars, let's move to two brothers who are playing in the Super Bowl, the Har Bowl.
Huh.
Ryan not only is a Notre Dame fan, he
short
is
that
a,
is
that one
short.
Hurt.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Not Ryan,
Butler.
But. Ryan Short is not only a Notre Dame fan, but he is a fan of the San Francisco 49ers.
Longtime fan of the San Francisco 49ers. Favorite sports team ever.
Boo.
Champions in every sense of the word. the right way to run a business.
We probably shouldn't have brought this up, should we?
Just,
yeah.
No.
I'm
you
got to
love everything
right
that
now.
They are and everything they stand for.
So, fellas, we're rooting for the Ravens, right?
All the
go
way.
Ravens.
Yeah, go
yeah.
Ravens.
Go Joe Flacco. Yeah, I do think they have a good chance though. And
yeah,
they look like a team that
they're like the Giants last year. They're just well, on it looks fire like at the right team time.
That's hot and everything's going their way. And
but the other team made the Super Bowl too, so it would be hard to say that one is hot and the other is not.
Yes,
that's true.
I think the Niners on their best day are the best team in the NFL for right. sure.
I think they've shown on not their best day, they're still better than a great number of teams in the league.
They'll probably beat the Ravens, but I think it's going to be a good game, and I hope the Ravens pull it off.
I hope they're good commercials.
there haven't been good commercials in a long time.
There haven't. I miss the Budweiser frogs.
Frogs are the Bud Bowl.
Or the Bud Bowl.
Bud Bowl's been gone.
The Bud Bowl.
The Bud Bowl has been gone.
I forgot about the Bud Bowl.
And the Doritos chick has been gone for a while.
Doritos has had some good ones recently.
Pepsi does some okay ones.
Yeah.
I think Ray Lewis will kill a man at this Super Bowl.
Or and then try to cover it up?
Yeah, and loses a game jersey.
No, he just won't. Have to dime out his two friends.
And right. We're going to go ahead and start talking about some free agent signings and trades.
Transactions.
Okay, probably the biggest trade that has happened recently is Upton and Johnson to the Braves for Prado, Delgado, and a bunch of prospects. Ryan, what do you think about this?
Well, I think it gives Atlanta quite an outfield. Maybe the best in baseball.
The best. A lot of strikeouts, though. So many strikeouts.
Yeah. It all hinges on what Justin does to come back from a really poor 2012. You know what I mean? If he goes back and he's anything like he was in 2011, then it's a great trade.
Poor by his standards.
For a lot of the year, he was really bad, as Short can attest to. Although Short, you tend to think that he wasn't quite as bad.
I would disagree that he was as bad as has been written about him. I think he's been graded on what his potential is.
Well, not just potential, but what he did in 2011. He had a great 2011.
He did, and he had a thumb injury. And a thumb injury is not good.
No, it's not.
Really bad, especially for a power hitter. Would like to see him run more.
I'm surprised he hasn't.
I'm really surprised he hasn't. He gets caught a lot.
Yeah.
His stolen base percentage is not good for a guy that, which kind of points to maybe he doesn't know how to run the bases. And there's an art. It's a skill.
Well, his brother knows how to run the bases.
His brother knows how to do it, and I can't really see BJ being that much faster.
BJ's a much smaller guy, though.
He's lankier.
That he is faster, but I think he reads the pitcher better.
To me, stealing bases is the only thing that BJ should be doing better than Justin.
Should be.
Justin looks the part. Justin looks like he was born to play baseball.
Justin's a better outfielder. But we don't care about that in fantasy.
Right.
I think BJ is a better outfielder.
BJ is a better outfielder.
BJ is a better outfielder.
Yeah, that's why he plays center. You know what I mean? But I think it's good. Maybe being on the same team with each other will be good for him. Right?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think it can hurt.
I don't think it can hurt either. You know, they're giving up a good player in Martin Prado.
BJ's not the best role model either.
Well, what do you guys think of the...
As far as, like, brotherly role models, no, BJ Upton is no John Harbaugh to Jim.
What do you think of the flip side of that trade where Prado and Delgado end up in Arizona? I think it's good.
Upton is a huge prospect. He's 25 years old.
I think it's good in that they get to use all of the outfielders that they have in Arizona now. I mean, at least they have the option to have Adam Eaton out there.
Right, who I like a lot.
And Prado is a step up from Chris Johnson.
Yeah. Prado's a really good player.
Yeah, he's a couple steps up.
I'd say at least two steps
He's a couple floors ahead, yeah. I think.
I still think that they didn't make out in the deal as well as...
They didn't maximize
I think Justin Upton.
What was there?
I think they really wanted to get rid of him, though.
Yeah.
I think that they were willing to take a little bit less than if they were to hold out. They wanted to move forward, see what the Eaton kid's about. You know, they went out and signed Ross, and they had a big old logjam there. Somebody had to go.
You and me talked about this, and we've all talked about this. The Ross signing makes no sense to me.
No, I say save the money and let the Eaton kid play.
Yeah.
I mean... Small sample size last year. He's got over almost 1,500 minor league at bats. Insane batting average, .355 average, getting on base like 45% of the time. I'd say stick him in center.
Yeah.
See what happens. Pay him $400,000. Then they go up and get Ross
for $39,000. Sounds about right to me.
Yeah. I don't get it.
They're just because they traded Justin, you know, they had the deal on the table or something possibly in the works with the Orioles for Kubel. They may not be done moving pieces around.
Kubel still could go.
And I think all of them, the kids, Eaton and Parra, because I think Parra's a kid, I think he still hasn't gotten the consistent at-bats that he needs to really start to develop. And Kubel and Ross all need at-bats. They need to know that they have a lineup spot, a batting order spot, and you're going to get, you know, again, maximum production out of...
So does that mean that you think it's best for Adam Eaton to start the year in the minors?
No,
he's not going to start.
No, I'd be fine with him starting the year in the majors if he was starting from day one, if they told him, hey, this is your job, go
ahead.
But
no, it doesn't look like he's going to start. It looks like it's going to be Parra, it's going to be Ross, and it's going to be Kubel, right? Who's their center field?
Parra. Well, aren't they Parra? Trying to get
Ross.
Rid of Kubel?
No, Ross. I think Ross is going to play center.
Parra's a gold glover, isn't he?
But he's been a left fielder, though.
I don't trust Parra.
To hold on to that job.
If he underperforms, I think Eaton is going to take his spot.
I think his job is the most in jeopardy.
Absolutely.
I think Eaton is not going to start the season, even possibly on the Diamondbacks.
It's possible. I don't see him not making that roster, though. Unless they feel that him getting playing time in AAA is more important than being a fourth or fifth outfielder at the major league level.
They must think that, obviously, because they're still going out there and they're still trying to get a guy like Cody Ross. Like, why would you get that guy? He's not sitting there.
That could be a thing. Maybe they don't have that much faith in Adam Eaton.
I don't know. He's only 5'8", like 185. He's not that big of a dude.
That's shorter than all of us.
Yeah, but if you look at the entirety of that lineup as is, there's zero speed. I'm not giving Goldschmidt speed.
No speed.
He would go back to that smart base runner type that, okay, he gets 15, but it's not like, when everyone in the stadium knows you're going to run, he's not going to pull it
15
off.
15 in 162 games is not like an impact.
I'm not going to knock a guy, though, for being small in stature.
No.
That's one of the beautiful things about baseball, is that you can be a really good player without being overly big.
Yeah.
It's one of the few sports where you can say that.
True. A lot of hitting, though, comes from size.
Well,
obviously, there's exceptions to that rule. I mean, think about it. A lot of the great hitters in the league are 6 foot and above.
This is very true. So that's probably enough on that trade right now. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Braves later on. Delmon Young sends a 1-year deal with the Phillies. What do we feel about Delmon Young in the city of brotherly love?
Delmon Young's not allowed anywhere near my favorite team. I don't want him. I think he's bad in the clubhouse. I don't think he's not patient at the plate. I don't like him. And he doesn't play the outfield very well.
Well, he throws bats at umpires.
There's got to be something in the water where the young boys grew up, because
Dimitri was
to a man, each one of them, from Dimitri to Delmon, and then there was another.
They grew up in Oxnard.
Well, they all strike me as bright, intelligent guys, you know, thoughtful, articulate guys. But they all have had on and off the field, like, behavioral issues and run-ins with the law and stuff. They can all hit, that's for sure. Delmon's problem is that he can't take a walk. I like Delmon. I think he's a good player.
I think Delmon Young is a pinch hitter.
He's more than that.
If I'm going to see him 4 times in a lineup, I don't like him. In a non-DH league, he's better suited than the
American League. Is he fantasy worthy? In a 10-team league, is he worth a bench spot?
Yeah. With five
outfielders. 2 years ago, I had him, and he was huge.
If you play in a three outfielder league.
2 years ago, he drove in 100 runs, so yes.
With five outfielders, maybe, but if you're in a three outfield league and you're in a 10-team league where you have 5 bench spots, is he worthy of your bench spot?
You don't need to spend that pick.
Probably not, right?
I don't think
What if you're in a 12-team league?
Yes.
I think 12-team is probably where you're definitely going to use Delmon Young.
Yeah. I think Delmon Young, what else are the Phillies really going to do? I mean, they have all these elderly players.
I don't know what the hell they're doing in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so, they had to get Delmon Young. They're trying to shore up their outfield. Well, they got Dominic Brown.
Ben Revere.
They got Ben Revere, which I think is a better fantasy pick than Delmon Young.
I think so, too.
And John Mayberry had a good year while Howard was out.
I just don't see him ever holding on to a starting job.
I don't either. I don't see him ever blossoming into
he's
everything.
He's 29 years old. I mean, if you're not into your prime by 27,
it probably ain't going to happen.
It probably ain't going to happen.
No, it's definitely not. Rafael Soriano goes to the relieving rich Washington Nationals, signs a 2-year deal for $28 million. That's
closer money.
That's closer money. That's and 14 mil a year. I did math on that one.
That's good.
He automatically supplants Storen.
Automatically.
Just because of that contract.
I mean, you're not going to do anything but close him, give him that kind of money. I thought it was a really weird move. I mean, it's from a baseball standpoint, sure, it's good. You can never have too many good relief pitchers, you know? That's a team that really thinks
but
that they're on the cusp.
But you need to spend that much money on a relief pitcher.
If you got it, sure.
The Nationals seem to have a lot of money this year, so
I
why not? They're pushing for the World Series.
What teams tend to be successful in the playoffs? Those who have deep bullpens. Look at the Giants do with their bullpen, you know? Basically,
what does this do to the psyche of Storen?
You know, I think he'll be okay. He's a Stanford guy. He's a bright guy. I don't think he's going to crack because his job was taken.
But did they sign him because of that World Series, that blown, not World Series, but in the playoffs, he blew a
melted
save.
Down.
He melted down in the final game of that Cardinal series.
I would agree with you because if his psyche is already messed up, the one thing he's got going for him is that it's far enough in advance of opening day that he can mentally deal with it, or he should be able to mentally deal with it. As far as getting into game action, easily argue that there are more high leverage situations in the 7th or 8th inning where we might see Drew Storen than there would be in the 9th with a 3-run lead and no one on base to start the inning.
You could argue that your 8th inning guy is just as, if
just
not
as
more
or
important.
More important.
I think Clippard, for parts of the last two seasons, has showed arguably the best arm in the bullpen.
But do you move Clippard out of the 8th spot, the 8th inning? And do you move him to the 7th? Because I think he's more valuable in the 8th.
I don't think that you
I
need to go about...
He's a strikeout pitcher.
Cementing a role when they're both right-handed, you know who's most rested, who matches up best against the hitters coming up.
You're not
going to flip-flop.
You're not going to give them
7th
the
role. 8th.
Soriano's the closer.
It's not my team. Soriano's definitely the closer.
Yeah. And Clippard will. I think he has a setup 8th inning is where I'd put him.
So Storen totally just drops down.
I'd put Storen at
the 7th?
7th inning guy, possibly 6th inning guy.
But then the Nationals have really told this kid,
"You're
sorry.
Your future
is
not very bright.
Third of an inning of work you had.
Yeah.
Don't
do it again.
We'll see you later.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a long season.
Maybe. Yeah. You're right.
Okay. So Soriano signs with the Nationals, and the Nationals also trade Michael Morse to Seattle in a 3-team jumble with a bunch of junk that wasn't tagged to all that. Michael Morse is the only thing you're caring about that trade. So now Seattle has Michael Morse and Kendrys Morales. I like the Morales move, and the Morse move kind of confuses me considering they have Morales. I like Morse more.
We stick Morse in left. I don't see the,
he's a big boy.
Yeah. Play him in left. No problem. Got a lot of big boys running
because you can't play him at DH because we've got,
Smoke.
No, not Smoke. Your catcher.
Montero.
Montero is probably going to play a lot of DH.
No, Montero's going to catch. Morse will play left. Smoke will play first, and Morales is going to DH.
Right now they have Ronnie Polino.
Oh, because they
as their other catcher.
Because they traded Jaso.
They did.
Right.
Okay, so it's good.
So I don't see any conflict there. I think it might hurt Morse's fantasy value.
Yeah.
But he's a good hitter.
I don't know how much they like Justin Smoke.
No, Morse
can be moved to
first
at some point.
No, but this totally takes out Justin Smoke. They're done with him. That Cliff Lee trade was that's it.
Well, who's going to play first if not Smoke?
Kendrys Morales.
DH all the way.
But then it's going to be Morse.
Morse can play first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Morse is going to play left. I think that they're going to give Smoke a chance to we'll give him one more shot.
Well, it's not going to last because I can. Because
he's gone through torrid streaks over the past couple of years where he's been the best hitter in the AL for, you know, certain 10 days. So it's there.
And then he's the worst hitter in the league for like 3 months in a row.
It is the Mariners, though. So
he's a streaky hitter.
You could say that.
is Michael Morse a guy that any of you guys are targeting in Seattle in
he's
that
not
lineup?
On my team. No.
Not on your team. Mm-hmm.
If Seager can drive an 84, Morris can drive a 90.
Without a spot to play on the field and uncertainty, I probably wouldn't take him.
Ryan?
As my fifth outfielder.
As your fifth?
Yeah.
So if you're in a three outfield league, he's on your bench.
Or I'd stick him in the utility spot.
Oh, all right. I personally don't like him in Seattle. I think he fit better in the national ballpark.
Absolutely, yeah.
The next one we're going to talk about is Lance Berkman signs with Texas. He's going to be their DH apparently, and DH or first base.
Probably DH. You know, he's a switch hitter.
They have to put him at DH. They're trying to fill the void of Josh Hamilton with this guy. Trying to get another bat in the lineup.
Because the Cardinals did it a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And they think that it's going to work.
You know, he's definitely a retread at this point. How many at-bats did he even have last year?
Less than 100.
Less than 100. I don't see him getting close to 400 this year.
I don't expect more than 250.
He's got creaky knees.
Well, if he's only DHing, he should get more than 250.
Should.
I'd agree. One bad step out of the box, it could put him on the DL for 7 weeks.
That's true. Eight.
Yeah, he kept trying to come back last year, and he kept having setback after setback. I mean, I wanted to count him out before the 2011 season. Well, and then he had a great year because he had a really bad year. You know, he finally got traded from Houston, went to the Yankees, didn't really do anything. Really not a splashy move at all by the Cardinals signing him, and he had a great year.
DHing is not really the easiest thing to do. It's hard to sit on the bench the whole game, not be involved in the game, and only the hitting aspect. And it's something that he's not accustomed to doing.
It's something that he was opposed to doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But first of all, he's opposed to doing it. Now he has come to the realization that
it was an awful rule.
He would retire
before he was ever a DH.
Oh,
so
now
money talks.
But now money does talk.
Money talks. And the American League was only made for guys like this.
It doesn't make sense to me. If you're looking at this from the Texas point of view, it doesn't make sense because of Profar, because of Andrews, because they can move Kinsler to first. They still have Mike Alt, who could have played first as well. I don't see the point in forcing Profar and Alt back to the minors because you want a 36, 37 year old hobbled DH to come in and play on your team.
How much money did they give him?
I think it was a 1 year deal, wasn't it?
Right, of course.
I think it's over 10.
I don't know how much money they gave him.
We have our stat guys on it, but we'll keep talking.
You're not going to stick a rookie in the DH spot.
No, but you could put Mitch Moreland there.
Moreland, they're going to give a fair shake at first.
But then you could have put Kinsler over there. And then you could have put Profar at second. We just found out, thanks to Stat Boys, that Berkman got $11
million. Yeah, that's... Man.
All right,
he's not worth half.
All right, yeah, not worth half. But what are the Rangers even doing here? Like, what are they really doing here?
I think they're scrambling. They had a really bad offseason. They lost out on Greinke, and they lost out on Hamilton, and they wanted Justin Upton, and they couldn't get him.
And I know that a lot of the fans were getting ready to see Josh Hamilton leave town anyway. At the end of his career in Texas, the fans hated
him. Well, he was killing guys in the outfield.
Yeah, dropping balls in the outfield. He killed a fireman in front of his own kid. By short arming a ball like a T-Rex, and now they get this 37-year-old. I don't even want to slugger. I guess. What do you want?
Don't forget
now?
How good of a career Berkman's had.
Berkman's had a great career.
He's the Puma.
The guy knows the strike zone.
He knows the strike zone.
Don't count these old wily hitters out. Okay. Don't shovel dirt over him just yet.
Okay, put your money where your mouth is. Where do you take him? In a 10-team standard 5x5 draft.
We were talking about...
What round? We said earlier Howard would slip past the 15th round.
I would take Berkman before Howard.
I would too.
So, let's say 15, maybe.
15th round. I see a lot of shaking heads over here.
I do agree. Maybe that round's a little high as well. But Howard, I think, is better fantasy option than Berkman. Any day of the week.
I do too. I think he's getting more at bats.
Yeah.
You think Berkman's gonna have a couple of days off to rest his crankiness?
I don't see him staying healthy. I don't like the Lance Berkman idea. I totally agree that you don't want to, you know, bury the guy before he's actually, you know, done. He at the point in the draft where I'd be willing to take him, I'd much rather take upside. I've already filled out a starting roster by the time I get to Berkman's name. And at that point, I don't need a guy that's 37 and I hope he does well. I'm hoping I get a 27
right.
that outperforms right. the draft spot.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I would take him. I'm saying that's where I would were I to. I mean, I'm with you on trying to strike gold with a young guy and running into a potential keeper, something like that, then...
Okay, Jared.
Let me remind you one more thing.
One last thing, Jared, on Berkman, because I don't want to talk too much.
I don't
want to
talk about Berkman too much because I don't think he's worth it.
Yeah, we've wasted
too
much time.
Two knee surgeries last year.
Two. Okay, and we're going to stop it right there. Last signing that we're going to talk about is Nick Swisher goes to the Indians, leaving the Yankees, leaving the Bronx Bombers. He's going to the Nation. And that team looks pretty good on paper, to tell you the truth. I don't know what you guys are thinking about the Indians, but they might be the most improved. They just got your boy Ryan.
Who?
In that trade for
Chu. Bauer?
No, well they got Bauer and they got the outfielder
Stubbs.
Stubbs, they got great. Your boy Stubbs.
Oh yeah, you love Stubbs.
Yeah, I love Stubbs.
Drew Stubbs fan over here.
The Indians are in good shape.
Swisher's a good player. Nothing exciting. He's not going to, like, blow you away in any one category.
Swisher and Brantley in the outfield? Come on, that's not bad.
I think Swisher will play first.
You think he'll play first?
I do.
Well, who would you rather have, Swisher or Chu?
I'd rather Chu.
I think it's kind of a wash there. Chu's going to hit for a higher average.
Mark Reynolds is on a depth chart playing first base for the Orioles.
We're not talking about the Orioles.
Not the Orioles. I'm sorry.
The Indians.
The Indians.
Mark Reynolds, I don't think, is on the field for any extended period of time.
They signed him.
They did.
They have him.
You think he plays DH instead?
I do.
You don't think that's reserved for Carlos Santana at any point?
Too young to talk about moving him.
His first base is probably Carlos Santana more than catcher, right?
I totally agree that Carlos Santana will see a lot of at-bats this year, and when he's not catching, it'll be split time between first and designated hitter.
Mm-hmm.
I still see Swisher as the first baseman.
Because they don't trust Mark Reynolds at third.
Maybe not.
Well, they got Chisenhall at third.
He's no longer... Yeah, Chisenhall's playing third base.
I do like Chisenhall.
Does play first, but... Either way, DH, I think Swisher play if he's right, but...
Swisher's going to stay in the outfield. I think that Reynolds, unless he totally goes in the tank, he's going to get a lot of playing time at first. They have no other option.
Swisher.
He's always played outfield, really.
He could play first, though.
Sure he could.
Anyone could play first.
What they say.
Well, who would they stick in the outfield besides Swisher?
Right. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, who else would they stick out there?
There's got to be someone there.
They're not sticking Mark Reynolds out there.
Who do we got there?
I'd say the name that's on this screen, but no one's heard of him. Ezekiel Carrera.
Yeah, dude. It's Swisher or bust. Right?
I think they got Swisher for the fact they don't want Ezekiel Carrera playing right field.
Okay, and that does it for our free agent signings and trades. Okay, so the Washington Nationals are the first team we're going to talk about, and we're going to bring Jared into this conversation. Jared, what is a player that you are specifically focusing on negatively or positively about this team?
Well, I'll start with a positive. Gio Gonzalez.
That's HIV positive?
HIV positive Gio Gonzalez. I hope not, because that really ruined my fantasy plans, because I target him pretty high as a pitcher.
He's probably
definitely your top pitcher on your staff.
On your fantasy staff?
Fantasy staff.
Definitely your top pitcher on your fantasy staff?
That you'd target him as your top pitcher on your fantasy staff.
So he's number one.
He would be, I would think, your number one pitcher, depending on where you draft. Obviously, there's better pitchers than him that you can draft. But if you got Gio Gonzalez, your number one pitcher, I think it would be sufficient and also rewarding.
I hear you, but I think you're a little high.
I am high. That is true. But as far as high on Gio Gonzalez or...
I like Gio Gonzalez.
Well, here's what I'm thinking here. Everybody looks at Strasburg. He is the ace of that staff. I think he is. Unless the Nationals are ready to take the training wheels off him, I know they still have, you know, issues with him going deep into ball games, especially after what happened at the end of last year's run.
The thing that impresses me about Gio Gonzalez is he only gave 9 home runs last year. That's pretty good. That's really, really good.
Nine runs in 200 innings.
But what doesn't impress me is he still walks so many guys.
He always will.
76 last year.
Oh, but down from what he had the year before. I mean, yeah. He always used to walk guys in Oakland.
And his whip was good. No, definitely last year, 2012, was a big step forward for Gio Gonzalez. I don't know if he's a top 10 pitcher, though.
I think he kind of proved to me that he's not truly a number one. I know this doesn't have any fantasy implications, but in the playoffs, man, yeah.
He's not a shutdown pitcher.
He really spit the bit, yeah.
Okay. He's only been in the league 4 years, right? So this is going to be his 5th season. He's 27 years old. I think he's just now getting into his prime. He's very, I would say, his value for a fantasy pitcher is if you got him if you got him as your number two pitcher, he has upside as your number one potential.
I'll take him as my number two pitcher, but I don't want to roll into the season with him as my number one.
I don't either.
Do you think he wins 20 games again?
No, I don't.
Do you think that was just a fluke? Even though the Nationals are stacked as a team.
I'd say 15 to 17 wins.
15 to 17 wins?
Which is still good.
That's great.
Ryan, who are you looking at on the Nationals?
Newly acquired closer, Rafael Soriano.
I think it's a great move. I mean, we talked about it earlier. It's kind of like they're adding to a strength.
I mean,
they spent a lot of money, though. I don't understand spending that much money when you already have... you said the rich get richer. I understand that.
I get it. They're going for it. In Washington.
Does he become a top 5 closer fantasy?
Probably. A big part of having a closer is you need to look at the guys he's got setting him up. You need to look at his rotation. How many opportunities is he going to get?
He's going
to
get a lot.
He's going to get a lot. Historically, I mean, he had a really good year last year with the Yankees.
Well, I don't understand why the Yankees didn't do what the Nationals did and just re-sign him and just forget about Mariano Rivera. I understand.
They can't.
But they should have.
Sure, they should have. Now they got a 43-year-old closer, and who knows what's going to happen because this is definitely.
Did they sign him
to
a 1-year or 2-year? Mariano Rivera.
I think it was a 1-year deal.
There we go. Talking about questions.
I'll find out.
Asking questions we don't know yet. I'm pretty sure it was a 1-year deal. I can't see them signing him longer than that, but it could be.
I think he could really be a top 5 fantasy closer this year. Absolutely. He's got 240 save seasons under his belt.
And there's not too many closers nowadays getting 40 saves.
Well, there's guys like Kimbrel and Hanrahan. Those are the best.
It was a 1-year deal for $10 million.
Hey.
Which is cheaper than what Soriano got.
He'll probably go out and get 40 saves too. But.
One for each year he's been alive.
Almost.
The guy I'm looking at is Bryce Harper. It's no surprise. The kid is bar none the best thing since sliced bread and sliced Mike Trout. How many home runs did he have last year?
22.
I see him improving on that. I see him improving on his RBIs because he's going to get probably a little bit more at bats. He's going to be in more situations where he's going to be getting RBIs. His strikeout total, 120, isn't too bad for a young hitter, actually.
Over 500 at bats.
For a young power hitter.
That's not too bad.
No. Anything else you guys want to say about the Nationals or Bryce Harper or any of the two guys you talked about?
I think that they're definitely the team to beat in the National League.
Bar none?
I think they're a good mix of young talent and a little bit of veteran mixed in there.
They have a lot of experience in the bullpen, which... like we talked about before, is so important in the playoffs once they get there. Although, they still placed a cap on Strasburg. Yes, they said 200 innings.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of is puzzling to me because you'd think that they would learn after all the attention that the cap they placed on him last year received. It became a distraction. You know, the story wasn't the Nationals.
Yeah,
the story was Steven Strasburg.
Why not paint
themselves into a corner again?
Why
say
not just
that?
Keep it under wraps? If you have a 200-inning limit, then just don't say it. Just have it in internal.
It's stupid. I don't get it. They didn't learn at all.
Mm-mm.
I would disagree because at least you get the story out of the way now. Can you imagine them competing for maybe not the division Maybe they're competing for the best record in the league. Whatever. They're in a September race, right? And all of a sudden, Strasburg's not pitching anymore? Then your story is Steven Strasburg.
But
now you're saying, look, this is the way it is. We're going to portion his innings out as such. And we're going to make sure that we've got a healthy arm come the postseason.
But if he gets to 200 innings by the postseason, are they going to shut him down again?
He won't get there by the postseason.
Because they screwed up last year by not managing his innings.
Correct.
There are so many ways,
I think, the dog days of summer
to trim a guy's innings throughout the year. An inning here, two innings there, you know, pull him after six instead of seven, pull him after five instead of six.
And by doing that, I don't want a guy who's going to be pulled early on, a guy that should be going deeper.
That's why Gio Gonzalez is
probably
fancy pitcher on that staff.
Probably.
Could be. Because he's pitching without limits, without limitations.
No limitations. And Strasburg, I think they should take the training wheels off him. I think it's about time. He's a big boy.
But what are we saying?
I agree.
The difference in wins is going to be Strasburg, what?
Strasburg seems to be on a win
this,
drought.
Just
he doesn't
wins.
Seem to get wins.
How many wins could he get this
because
year?
Because he doesn't go deep into wins. Games.
Well, more than 12.
I say 13 is probably his ceiling this year.
Okay. I don't think so. And I think he can get more than that.
So he can get more than that, and we're saying Gio is 15 to 17?
Yeah.
Right? So in a 5x5, you're trading two or three wins, and the ratios may tilt and lean towards Strasburg.
But where do you have to draft Strasburg as opposed to where you're drafting Gio? Probably a couple
of
rounds.
I would still take Strasburg ahead of Gonzalez.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But that's where he's going to be drafted. So, that's where his ADP is going to be, but who's going to be more valuable? I think a guy that you're going to get maybe two or three rounds later is more valuable because he's going to have at least similar.
Strasburg's strikeout rate's incredible. He's probably going to end up. So is Gonzalez. You know, I don't see that. I don't see this bullpen coughing up a lot of leads that Strasburg hands him.
But he still hasn't gotten many wins in his 2 years in the league.
I would agree that return on investment.
We all know wins are a fluky stat.
Gio maybe turns more of a profit.
Would anybody disagree that wins are a fluky stat?
They are a fluky stat.
They have to be after Cliff Lee's season.
It's a team. It's more. It's more of a team stat.
It's a team stat. Yeah. But you know, for fantasy wise,
it still doesn't matter.
It's still a stat of the player.
Yeah. Real quick,
certain guys like CeCe Sabathia always get wins.
And you can't fault Strasburg for not having. It's not because he's pitched poorly.
He had 15 wins in 159 innings a year ago. He knows how to win.
That's pretty damn good.
All right. Well, moving on to the Braves, we're going to talk with Ryan Short. Ryan Short. Who's your player that we're talking about?
My player is going to be two. It's got to be Upton v. Upton this year.
Who's the better Upton? Is that what we're talking about?
It is. If you're drafting, obviously the talent is going to point towards Justin. He's had the wow numbers compared to BJ. Justin, what I see is he's going to a new ballpark, staying within the same league. He's familiar with the stadiums, the batting eyes, the climates. BJ Upton going from the AL East to the NL East.
Where there's better pitching.
Better pitching, different pitching, and Albert Pujols he is not.
Mm-hmm.
With the adjustment period that we saw Albert Pujols go through last year, and it took him 2 months to get right to turn back to the quote-unquote Albert of old.
A lot of that could have been attributed to the big contract, though, to him trying to justify his worth.
I would agree, but I think the hype machine is going to go into overdrive now that you have those three quality young outfielders in Atlanta. There's going to be high expectations on that roster.
Okay, so based on value, based on ADP, who do you like more this year?
Justin Upton can still perform like a first round talent,
even though he's going to be drafted second or third.
Absolutely, okay. BJ's ceiling is not nearly.
But
as
you
high.
Can probably get BJ Upton in what, the sixth or seventh round.
I think he's overdrafted this year. I think he's drafted much higher. I don't much think you get that. Him that low.
You think because of all this buzz, he's going to be drafted higher?
I do. I think people look at their surrounding lineup and say, "Ooh, flashy new contract, new car. Let me take it for a test drive."
Okay.
They crash it off the lot.
New surroundings and
wrap it around telephone pole.
New beginnings and that will justify a big stat increase, maybe. That's what they're thinking.
Right.
Just by change of scenery means, you know, a change of a player.
Yes.
Ryan, who do you look at for the Braves?
Chris Medlin. I mean,
the young pitcher,
really good young pitcher, 10-1 last year. ERA off the charts low, 1.57 for a starting pitcher. You know, they had that streak where they won
75 of his 12 starts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was ridiculous. Opposing batters average 208, whip of under one, only 103 hits allowed and 138 innings pitched, and only 23 walks allowed. So, small sample size. It looks like the guy's really good. Might be ready to assume that ace spot in that rotation with Hanson being gone.
Oh, well, he's their number one.
What type of a slip do we see from him, though? Where does he go in the draft? Where would you take him?
Because it's a small sample size, I can't put all my eggs in his basket. I think you're going to see an ERA increase. I mean,
of course,
law of averages, it's going to happen. I do think he's for real, if that's what you're asking. Yeah. I don't know where he fits with the rest of the league or the rest of the starting pitchers. I just don't know. There's a big question mark on him.
It's a pretty small sample size. I mean, he has 30
career starts. He pitched out of the bullpen most of last season. Yeah. They didn't put him in the rotation until...
He has 30 career starts. He has 19 wins.
That's not going to keep... That's not going to continue.
No.
It's not.
I don't like the expected innings increase. We're already, again, talking about the Braves being a contender of sorts. Now that we have two wild cards, they're going to need all the arms that they can get. 138 innings last year.
What do you bump him up to?
How many more do you want to increase on that load before it gets into that, well, you know, they're longer. We've already said he hasn't started a lot. Now you're stretching him out over those innings. He's not used to that taxing on the arm. Not a top 20 pitcher.
Looks like the Braves at least learned from the Nationals' mistake and haven't said anything about, at least not publicly, about putting an innings cap on him. It's probably something that's in-house. They're not going to run him out there for 220 innings.
No, they're not. But this could be something that Short was talking about earlier, and it could be to their detriment later on in the season if they don't talk about it now.
Well, he's 27 years old, so it's not like he's a young pitcher.
It could be like Strasburg last year when you need him most in the playoffs. He's gone.
His age, maybe he's not a young baseball player. His arm is still young because they're so coddled now through the minors. Their seasons aren't as long. They're not throwing more than six usually in the minors.
Atlanta's a notoriously humid, brutal place to pitch.
They take care of those young arms. They want to have this guy around for seasons to come. And now they got a young outfield. Baseball's kind of a win now, but a lot of baseball is looking ahead too.
I think it's going to depend a lot on how far out of first they are in August. How much is Washington pulled away? Is it worth running him out there?
But do they pull away that far?
I don't know.
I think
Atlanta's a good team.
They could be neck and neck throughout the whole season.
If they get Beachy back midseason.
Yeah.
There's another pitcher there. They're going to be really.
He's got number one stuff.
They're going to do anything with him.
Beachy's a better pitcher than Medlin.
He's a better
pitcher. Not this season, but yeah.
But his skill set is better than that.
Baby.
Larger sample size.
They will baby him more than
Medlin. He's got 41 career starts.
He's going to be hurt half the season, isn't he? Yeah. I mean, he's coming off. He's not going to play at the beginning of the season.
They'll baby him more than they do Medlin.
I agree. We're going to go ahead and move on to the Mets. The New York Mets trade away R.A. Dickey, but they have a good young pitcher in Matt Harvey, who I wanted to talk about. He had a really good rookie season. I don't know if you can totally call it a full rookie season, because I'm not sure exactly the restrictions that they have for pitchers. I know for hitting it's, 150 at-bats?
Pitching, how many innings is it to maintain rookie status?
Harvey pitched 59 innings.
I think he still maintains his rookie status.
I think he still maintains it as well. But Harvey had a 1.15 whip, a 2.73 ERA, which was the same as Dickey. I don't know, Dickey had a lot more innings. But he struck out 70 guys in 59.1 innings. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he's going to be...
It's 50 innings pitched, by the way, so he does...
He's not a rookie. Lost,
and it's 130 at-bats.
130, okay. Yeah. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Matt Harvey is going to be, by the end of the season, a top 25 pitcher, starting pitcher. Based on his strikeout ratios and based on his ERA and whip.
You're saying he'd finish as a top 25? He's not going to show himself to be a top 25 by the end of the year.
I think he finishes at a top 25.
Okay.
In like a Yahoo player rater or ESPN player rater.
Yeah, he's the pitcher with the most upside on the staff altogether. His staff's not looking the greatest, but it's not bad.
I kind of like it, actually.
I think that the staff Jonathan actually needs, isn't that bad.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's not that bad, but I think he has the upside to be the best one.
It definitely
on
looked
staff.
A lot better with
Dickey.
With Dickey, but you get Darno on your team now to help that staff out with pitching.
That's a whole other story with Darno.
Yeah. Are we getting him today?
Well, we can touch on him.
We just found out how to pronounce his name, by the way.
Yes, it's Darno.
Not
Darnard.
D'Arnaud.
You know,
the whole thing, you guys figured that out.
The whole
thing. We were all effing wondering about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I kind of found out by accident. But, the Mets, from an ownership standpoint, they're kind of in shambles right now. You know, Major League Baseball could assume control of that team if Wilpon defaults on any of his multiple loans that he has out. And so they're being rather frugal.
Those loans, I think half of them are to Bobby Bonilla.
I think. Well, to pay off his contract.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
How many more years does he have?
I think they want to take back the team because they still owe Bobby Bonilla all that money.
So Darno really doesn't have anything left to prove in the minors. I mean,
no, he should start the season with the big club.
You would think. But now they're kind of taking a different approach with all this financial uncertainty. You know, they got John Buck, who is not, he's a journeyman catcher. He doesn't excite anybody.
The human pinball.
Well,
John Buck.
They worry about things now like major league service time, starting the clock on his major league service. So that alone, to hear Sandy Alderson talk, that fact could keep him in the minors well into the season. Now, the Mets I don't see really going anywhere this year, so come June, July, when they're mired in a sub-500 season, one of the oldest ploys, if you can't win, what do? To get butts in the seats? You bring up the hotshot prospect.
Mm-hmm.
So that, if nothing else, might get Darno up here, but I don't think he's going to start the year on the club.
What's interesting about the Mets that I saw earlier today is that they have 25 homegrown players on their 40-man roster.
Wow.
The most in the league, tied with the Cardinals.
That's
good. That's going to make you feel good.
It's a lot more than the Padres.
Yeah.
Well, the Padres have like six, seven, eight.
And not many homegrown sluggers either, but...
No, but if you're bringing up, major league talent through your organization, you're obviously doing something right.
Especially with the financial handcuff that they're in right now.
Yeah. Which they never had before.
They haven't, but you said, their ownership turmoil.
If you're a team that has financial restrictions, you should have a large part of your roster from your farm system.
You better. Yeah.
I mean, and they should be guys that you've drafted, not necessarily traded for in draft, but just drafted and like Rule 5 guys, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A guy that I kind of want to talk about is Art Davis. You know, he had Valley Fever, which is a mysterious fungal infection.
But it causes the death of major league players like Connor Jackson.
Well, I guess what it does is it just makes you lethargic and you have no energy. You feel like you have the flu all the time. And I don't know. You know, I've never had it. I don't know how much that affected him. But he had a really sluggish start to the year and he was struggling to keep his average above 200. But he ended up with really good numbers, and before last season,
well, he had
32 home runs in that park.
230?
227, 90 runs batted in. With a full year, healthy, with all that behind him, I could see the average creep back up, because even with a bad year last year, his career average is around 270.
Yeah, he's not a bad player. I did look up the Bobby Bonilla stat, though.
Uh-huh.
He makes $1.2 million a year for the next 25 years.
Really?
Yeah. You know, apparently this guy makes more money than 17 players on the Mets roster.
don't worry about a 401k. Get your retirement plan through the New York Mets.
Yeah, you can sign a 25-year deal where you make $1.2 million a year for 25 years.
I'll take that. That's like winning the lottery.
And he hasn't played for the Mets since 1999.
He hasn't.
No.
And he's been making money from them since then.
Oh, what a great contract.
That agent set this guy up for life.
He's 40. Maybe the agent knew that he would blow his money, so he would only give it to him in
an allowance.
That's a good idea. They should do that with more players. The NFL should act some sort of 25-year plan.
Bobby?
Don't give it all at one time. Like, Pac-Man Jones does not need, $10 million at one time. Otherwise, he wants it all in once.
He wants it all in once, and there's going to be a stripper shooting.
I think Davis's value is going to be low coming into the draft, and I think that he could be a good value pick if he kind of picks up where he left off last.
But that's rightfully low.
That batting average acts more as an anchor than it does as any of his other stats act as like a buoy. You know.
Well, it's hard when your average is in the 200s for all year. It's hard to get that up.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier to raise your RBI and home run total, but that batting average it's the most difficult one to raise. And look at Cameron Maybin last year. You know, he was on fire the last 2 months, ended up hitting 255. Similar situation.
Yeah, but he was hitting like 200 all year.
Exactly.
I think you have to know your draft room, who you're drafting against, what their tendencies are with a player like Ike Davis, because fantasy managers, more than anyone else, likes to prove to you how smart they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to jump on the Ike Davis bandwagon saying, 32 and 90, he hit 227. What if he hits 250? More home runs, more RBIs. I tend to think that he's a player to buy, especially if you're playing in a corner infielder league or multiple utility spots. Ike Davis is a name I'm going
to target. But it's hard to say that if he hits 250, it means more home runs, more RBIs. Remember a couple years ago, remember Elijah Dukes?
I do.
He had like 380 at bats, and everyone, including myself, said, "Will you give that guy 600 bats?" And if he hit,
it just doesn't work that
way. If he hit 20 home runs with 350 at bats, what can he do with 600?
33.
And what did he do? Nothing. He was out of the league by the time May came around.
What bothers me about Ike Davis a lot is I know they brought in the fences at Citi Field for David Wright. They didn't care about Ike Davis.
No.
Ike Davis only hit .188 at home last season. I know his batting average was in the tank most of the season, but .188 at home? You get the home crowd riding you. You have people in your head. You just keep striking out. It builds upon it. I don't know. I don't think I'm not as high on him as Ryan Butler
here. It was the pressure of Billy Crystal, dude.
Yeah, Billy Crystal's over there with looking at it with the Mets hat on. Seinfeld. Wants to make another movie on him.
Well, it's it's tough when you got a guy who struggles to hit his home park.
Okay, well, we've spent a lot of time on the Mets. The Marlins, Jared, what's a player you're looking at?
All right, well, the only player worth anything on the Marlins, in my opinion, Giancarlo.
Okay, so
Mike Stanton. Bubba Stanton. Well, yeah, how many names does he have? Like 19, right?
Tell me about Giancarlo.
All right. My man Giancarlo Stanton, young slugger, can hit in any ballpark. I don't think there's a better young outfielder in the league. If you guys can come up with one, please let me know. I know that he could get traded later this season. I know they've been talking about trading him. He's 23 years old.
Did you say a better young outfielder in the league?
Yes. 23-year-old outfielder in the league.
Mike Trout?
Bryce Harper.
Okay. I'll take Mike Trout. Bryce Harper.
Jason Hayward.
I say Giancarlo Stanton's better than Bryce Harper. Even though Bryce Harper, he's 20 years old, not a better young outfielder in the league.
I think
Mike Trout is an exception.
What do you define as young? Like under 25?
Under 25.
With Stanton, real quick on some stats. He hit .290 last year.
He's not going to do that.
His K rate was 28.5%. His batted ball of home run to fly ball percentage was 29%.
He's not hitting .290.
The .290 average is absolutely not happening.
That's like .260, .250.
At all.
If he keeps that up.
That's okay.
That's okay.
That's fine.
290 is a high average.
Not hitting a home run 29%.
But you shouldn't draft Giancarlo hoping for that high average.
No, you don't draft him for the high average. You're not drafting him for 290. I'm not drafting because he hit 290. There's a lot of other players that can get the draft, hit 290.
No, but I think it's a little
37 home runs.
I think his ADP is a little inflated because of that.
He could hit 37 home runs. No problem.
And I think he's getting better.
With his eyes closed.
I think he's getting better.
With about 40 RBIs with that lineup.
Yeah.
Well, I could see him getting traded for a lot of reasons there. You know, are they paying him yet?
No, I think signability.
He's talking his way out of Miami. He's been very verbal about his displeasure with the way they've dismantled that team.
Pretty soon.
So if for no other reason, you know, he's being viewed now as a malcontent. I don't blame the guy.
Yeah.
The writing's on
the wall. He hasn't said anything that's incorrect in his assessment of the way that they've dismantled that club this offseason. Man, if you put him in a different park with a surrounded by any kind of other lineup, just imagine what he could
I don't
be
think
there.
The park matters for a guy like him though.
That's true.
I think the park matters.
He can hit it out of anywhere.
He can hit it out of anywhere.
He only had 123 games though, and he still struck out 143 times.
He's gonna strike out.
He's gonna strike out like 180.
He's still a young player, so he has upside potential, I believe. And he's the best player on that team.
He's no Adam Dunn.
But the strikeouts will show you Adam Dunn qualities for stretches of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They will.
In a week, if you're in a head-to-head league, in a week, he's going to strike out 7 to 10 times a week.
Standard league, strikeouts don't matter.
No, they don't.
They don't.
But if you strike out 7 to 10 times a week,
you're not
knocking anyone in.
That is true. I agree with that.
The guy I wanted,
but an out's an out at the end of the day. So
the guy I wanted to talk about was Jose Reyes. Oh wait, I wanted to
the new Blue Jay.
I wanted to talk about Hanley Ramirez.
Wait.
Oh wait, I really want to talk about Emilio Bonifacio. Oh wait, actually Logan Morrison.
It's about Carlos Lee.
No, wow. Logan Morrison. When is Logan Morrison going to ever put it together?
I don't know. He's kind of a knucklehead.
Yeah,
he's too much into the whole Twitter
needs
cyberspace.
To stay healthy.
He only played 93 games last year.
Needs to stay healthy.
He batted
in 93 games, 11 home runs. So if you go by the Elijah Dukes, math, if you double his games played, or not I'm double, spitting. can't double 93, but. If you give him more at-bats, he should have at least 20 home runs a season.
He'll get plenty of at-bats.
If he's healthy. But a .230 average isn't going to keep him in the league very long.
No, he really doesn't have it. He has no speed.
If you're hitting 20 home runs with no speed and a .230 average, you're basically a bench player
right.
at that point.
Right. Rookie year was pretty good.
I guess.
He hit some home runs. That's about it.
Well.
23
bombs.
I don't think this is a player that I would own on this team.
Low average, but I don't fault the rookie for having a low average.
But he wasn't a rookie last year.
No, that's what I'm saying. He had a good rookie year. Last year was his second full year. And he regressed. How much of that was due to injuries?
Well, there's a lot of it.
He could probably be a 25 home run guy.
Yeah, wasn't he sent down the minors last year, too?
But that was more because of his, I think
that was
demeanor
more rehab.
And his behavior.
Yeah.
I don't think it was because of his play. I think it was because the organization wanted to send him a message that they don't actually need him as much as he needs them. Right?
Probably
He was all about Twitter last year and tweeting stuff that he wasn't happy about. And they said, we're done with that. Go ahead and play in the minors for a little bit.
Yeah.
Is there anyone you wanted to talk about on the Marlins?
Ryan? No, not really.
No. Okay, so let's go ahead and move to the Phillies, and Ryan Short is going to give us a player that he is either satisfied or dissatisfied with.
I'm not going anywhere near Roy Doc Halladay this year.
Ugh.
That's Ryan Butler's boy, by the way.
Touching him at all. That guy will not be on any of my teams. He'd have to fall to the free agent wire for me to have that guy on my team. One thing's an elbow. The elbow they seem to have... I'm not going to say blanket statement, but they've figured it out in baseball for pitchers. The shoulder is a whole nother story. It derails
the shoulder's still a mystery.
The shoulder derails careers, not seasons.
Jake Peavy.
And Halliday, at this point, at this age in his career, the number of innings already thrown.
He was so bad last year.
To have a shoulder injury and to not be able to come back and even look anything near what he was.
What surprises me
cause for concern.
What surprises me more with him than the ERA is 132 strikeouts and 156 innings pitched.
He doesn't throw very hard anymore.
No, he's
and he hasn't thrown that hard for the last few years, and he got by. You know, his command was impeccable.
Well, and you give up 18 home runs in 156 innings pitched. That's not good because you if you're throwing 200 innings, that's like 25 home runs in a season. You know, that's not exactly the. Well, the kind of stuff that is fantasy worthy.
Now that he's 35 years old, he's not going to get any better.
But where do you
he's going to start getting towards the end of his career.
But where do you see him being drafted this year? Because I don't see him being a top.
I would say
a top 30 player.
I would have to take him player. As my third pitcher at most.
And you're hoping on my that, starting. And you're pitching hoping staff. That he pitches like a third.
Right.
You're hoping.
It's kind of like Lincecum, right?
I think that it's a tie. They both
Who would you rather have?
Lincecum.
Lincecum or Halliday?
I'd have more faith in the guy without the injuries.
And who's younger?
And younger. With better hair.
With better hair.
Yeah.
I'd take Lincecum over Halliday.
I think I'd take him as well. But that's still not a... You know, a glowing review for it.
No, it's not. It's not crazy.
If it's come to that, stay away.
It's crazy that we've been having this conversation about Halliday. I never thought that I would. Honestly, I mean, this guy's been like so good for so long, and then no one really saw this coming. Figured he was kind of one of those guys like Jack Morris or Smoltz who would continue to pitch well into his late 30s. And last year, I mean, look what he did the year before, won 19 games. And last year, just 11-8, and got blown up like I'd never seen him get blown up before.
Well, I mean, Cole Hamels is by far and away the best pitcher on that staff now. I mean,
oh yeah, no doubt.
I mean, Cliff Lee is still an option, fantasy option, and I know that the wins were a fluke last year, but Cliff Lee is still on the wrong side of what 34.
He is, and I don't know what the Phillies are doing here. They're just collecting 30-year-old players.
Well, they just got Michael Young. They have Chase Utley, the player who I want to talk about. Chase Utley only had 300 at-bats last year, and he can't seem to get onto the field in the beginning of the season. It seems like he's got to go to Arizona
and for extended spring training.
His spring training to work on his knees. And he's like the linchpin in that lineup. I mean, when he's in the lineup, they're definitely a different team. But he's getting so much older that what is 300 bats from an old second baseman now, fantasy wise or in real life?
The whole infield is overpaid and on the wrong side of 30. Michael Young is 36, Chase Utley is 34, Jimmy Rollins is 34, Ryan Howard is 33. This team's in some serious trouble.
Not
only like fantasy wise, but real sports MLB wise.
You're going to see them.
The Phillies.
They're going to drop in the standings.
Have some problems far. Pretty soon. Cole Hamels is a one out of there. Players aren't going to want to go there.
If I'm Cole Hamels, I don't. He already resigned, didn't he?
Yeah, he's.
I can't believe he did that.
He made some big money too. He's making huge money. $50 a season.
I would have left. If I were him.
I don't think he saw this already on the wall. I mean.
He should have.
Doc he Holliday should have. It was still, well in. This whole thing was well in progress last season.
This is 2 years in the making right now.
True, but they still had. You know, they're still close to winning. Another some more World Series championships. So he, you know, thinking they can, you know, get younger. They have the money to actually go out and get a free agent. You know, once.
But
in
you
while,
can't but. Trade Howard. You can't trade Utley. You can't trade Rollins right now. I mean, what do you get back for those guys?
This Nothing. Team has to just go free agents. That's the only thing they do is spend money now. Because they don't have any young players coming up.
No, they don't. Ryan, you want to say something?
As far as Utley goes, I hear everything that you had to say about Are you going to get the at-bats? When you do get the at-bats, are they going to be healthy at-bats? Because, mm-hmm. you know, one thing's to be called a gamer, which is usually a compliment to a player.
Mm-hmm.
You don't
which Utley is.
You don't always want your fantasy players to be gamers. Because those offers add up and they drain your team. All that being said, with roster flexibility, and I put that caveat on there, if you have the roster flexibility, I like Utley as a platoon for your second base spot.
I like it.
If you can pair him with a younger player, you know, so let's say you miss out on the Cano, Pedroia, Kinsler, top three, let it go, fill your roster, you know, in other areas. Take a shot with Utley, because
you can get him late.
I really think you can only get him late, and he's only going to turn a profit. I think it's easy to get to rid yourself of him where you would draft him.
Mm-hmm.
But and if you pair him with someone, maybe play matchups, maybe play lefty righty, maybe play Weeks and Utley.
It doesn't sound great. I hate doing that though.
It doesn't sound great, but with daily moves, you never know what you can do.
He doesn't run much anymore. 256 average. He's at 250 in two seasons.
I like playing him at home against righties.
Yeah. But I think when you get into that kind of nitpicking kind of playing like that, you're just trying too hard. You're micromanaging.
If I'm going to spend energy looking at numbers and stuff like that, I like to do it when I'm looking to pick up a player. I don't like to do it when I'm setting my daily lineup.
I don't like to do that either.
It's maddening. The fantasy season is too much of a mental grind anyway without having to play that game day in and day out. And there's nothing worse than having a guy on the bench because you thought you played the right matchup, and then he goes out and goes 3-for-4 with 4 runs batted in and a home run, and you're like, damn it. You know,
that's a good point. I was just going to say that.
It's a lot of frustration.
And baseball is a streaky game. Unless you are the the cream of the crop elite in the game, you're going hot and cold throughout the season, right? There's regularly, are you going to, or not often, are you just going to be flatlined through the season at a constant?
No.
I like the idea of Utley getting hot in the summer in that ballpark. I think he has...
Well, he's really
a
hot.
A year left.
But he's playing hot. So we're really looking to see. He's really hot.
But if we're going to talk about hot things, we're going to move into the AL East, and we're going to talk about some hot girls that are dating some hot guys. So let's move on to the AL East.
The AL East.
All right, so we're moving on to the AL East, and we've decided that we hate the Yankees, and they're so old and fat and stupid.
Except for Robinson Cano, who I, you can't see, but wearing his jersey shirt.
Jared is currently wearing a Robinson Cano jersey, or jersey
Lifelong
shirt.
Lifelong Padre
shirt
fan.
With a Padre hat.
With the 98 Padres colors.
Yeah. You can't see this, but he's double thumbing his back.
As white as can be.
But we've decided the Yankees are a team that we don't really care about. We don't really want to talk about any of the players other than all of the women that Derek Jeter has banged. So Jared,
it's incredible.
Why don't you go ahead and take this away?
All right. Well, I'll start with the list here that we found thanks to our friends at Barstool Sports. But we'll start from the list of most recent. I think going backwards. But
I think it's from most recent to
recent.
It doesn't matter.
So we have Minka Kelly.
Hot.
Jessica Alba.
Hot.
Jessica Biel.
Super hot.
Vanessa Manillo.
Don't know who she is, but she looks hot.
I think she's a Nick Lachey's wife or something.
She's hot.
She's Adrian hot. Was he giving gift baskets to her while she was married to Nick Lachey?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Probably.
What's
Nick Lachey going to do about
it? Nick Lachey was like, oh, if you want to fuck Derek Jeter, then that's fine. Adriana Lima.
Yeah, Victoria's Secret model.
Tyra Banks.
Hey.
Jordana Brewster.
Fine.
Hot.
Vita Guerra.
Yeah, known. Yep.
Mariah Carey.
In her prime.
In her prime. Not anymore. She had triplets.
Scarlett Johansson.
With what's his name? Nick Cannon.
Did she?
That's pretty much all we got.
That's it?
On
that's
this
the
list
that we know about. Yeah.
Sure, I don't
list.
Know if you have more on your list.
Well, we've got rumored Rachel Yucatel, which was the one of the Tiger Woods girls.
Ah.
Laura, A-Rod was
They're Eskimo brothers.
They're Eskimo brothers.
Except Joy Enriquez.
Are there pictures of these chicks?
Yeah. There are. They're pretty hot. Yeah.
We have Hannah Davis.
Here we go. There you go. Look at the pictures.
Butler has to walk over to Ryan Short's else
with,
side of the table for this
Minka one. Minka Kelly is hot,
Minka Kelly is on my fantasy team.
Oh, my God.
She's the first rounder.
She's starting shortstop.
She's hot, too, that Duda chick.
No, she's starting catcher.
And so is she.
And I'm starting pitcher.
No one's hands are on the table, and it's about 6 inches off the ground. I'm not sure what happened, but...
Very good. So, anyway, mad props to Derek Jeter. I mean... What's not to like about the guy? Great ball player, classy guy.
Hall of Fame, though? And
Hall of Famer. And excellent taste.
And excellent taste. And that's all we're going to say about the Yankees, because we don't like the Yankees.
Draft Brett Gardner.
Whatever. But not even Cano. We don't like Cano.
We like Cano at this table. And we also, you know, I think there is some talent in the pitching staff for the New York Yankees.
Okay. Well, Jared, who did you want to talk about on the Red Sox? The new look Red Sox.
The new look Red Sox. One of the things I do like about what the Red Sox have done is get rid of all the overload payroll that they had.
That was a pretty remarkable trade they pulled off last year, and the Dodgers are not better for it.
I'm surprised the Dodgers weren't like, hey, Red Sox, you gave all this stupid money to Adrian Gonzalez and Carl Crawford. How about you pay a little bit of this? We'll take them off your hands. But no, the Dodgers were willing and happy to say, hey, we'll just take him on the contracts that you signed him. Carl Crawford hasn't done anything for you and is basically collecting money for free.
Well, essentially, they took on Beckett and Crawford to get Gonzalez, is what I think.
But I like Beckett in L.A. I do.
I've always hated Beckett.
I like Beckett in the postseason. I don't like him as a fantasy player. I don't like him as a regular season pitcher. It seems like every other month he's got a blister. I mean,
well, also, I mean, he has issues with the clubhouse.
Fried chicken in the golf course.
Fried chicken and beer.
He's going to be fine.
You got a problem.
I like the start over. Look at A.J. Burnett getting out of you know, New York and getting a start over on a National League team. Get Beckett out of the AL East and into the NL West. That's not an offensive, you know.
Powerhouse division. No, I mean, I get that.
I like Beckett in L.A. this year.
He pitched pretty well for them last year.
And again, he's not going to cost you.
Well, let's get off of this Beckett.
Yeah, yeah. Beckett's not even on the Red Sox.
We're looking at the Red Sox. They got rid of Beckett for a reason, and I think they needed to get rid of Beckett.
Yeah.
Clubhouse cancer. Anyway, so the player I want to talk about, young third baseman, 24 years old, Will Middlebrooks.
Pretty much set the world on fire for a little bit there.
Sure did.
Had some injury issues.
He did. He came up. He only had about 267 at-bats. Actually, not about. Exactly 267 at-bats last year with the Red Sox. Had 15 home runs and 54 RBIs. Doesn't walk a lot. Does strike out a tad much. But he is a rookie. Young player, 24 years old. 6'4", 200-pound third baseman out of Texas. I think he does have the potential to hit 30 bombs.
He's playing a position that doesn't have a lot of fantasy talent. No. I mean, third base has been shallow for a lot of years now. And I think that he's one of those players that you can get late, and he could turn into a player who, I hope I'm not crazy saying this, but a top five third baseman.
Eventually.
Could.
Eventually, I mean, he has, you know, possibly the potential to turn the season like Evan Longoria.
Well, we talked about projections and how you can get burned if you base a position you're drafting a guy at on a projection.
Yeah.
Especially if it's such a small sample size. But
he passes the eye test, right? The player I want to talk about is Mike Napoli, who moves from Texas. Had some trouble signing a contract because of a hip issue. Finally does sign a contract, but it was a lot less than what he thought he was going to be getting. And
1 year, $5 million. 5 million. Down from 3 years, 39.
I believe that's what happened. He didn't have a year like he had 2 years ago.
Not even close.
But I feel like in terms of power, the power is going to be there. I don't see his power ever dropping off, hip issue or not. How do you guys feel?
I guess Napoli is one of those guys who, at this point, I would prefer to have on my real team than on my fantasy team.
But if you...
He still has the catcher eligibility.
We talked about catcher. I think most of us talked about it. And catcher is a super deep position this year. And there's probably 15 to 17 catchers who are startable on fantasy rosters. And if you're in a 10-team league, that means that you could wait almost till the last pick in the draft and still get a decent catcher.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't...
So what does that do to his value?
Exactly. It doesn't necessarily do anything to Mike Napoli's value. It lowers it, I think.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it any higher. And you're going to... If he goes high in your draft, then so be it. Because there's going to be another catcher that's going to come along.
I like the dual position eligibility. You know, there's lots of catchers who have dual position eligibility, so that's not exactly a huge selling point.
Don't always want a catcher at first base anyway.
I don't want him as my first baseman. Hell no.
He's going to be playing first base, though. His catching days are over. I mean, he
still has eligibility at catcher.
For this season.
He does have eligibility at catcher, but I don't know how much he's going to play after this season.
We're talking about this season.
We are. But, like I said, he does have recently... This came out recently that he has that same...
It's degenerative.
Degenerative disease that Bo Jackson had. Ended his career. This AVN, the osteonecrosis.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's going to have this hip problem. I don't know if I want to take a gamble on Mike Napoli.
But you think he's just going to fall apart in 1 year? Like, he just, that's it? Is it,
no, but
His
year last year wasn't that great either.
He hit .227 last year.
He did. Well, I've never believed in his batting average.
I knew he would never hit .320 again.
.320 was bonkers.
Is he a .227 hitter?
No, he's probably a .260 hitter, .250
right,
hitter.
So we can't just dismiss one and say that the opposite is true. I think with Napoli, while I would agree completely that there's a number of catchers that are worth rostering, zero off of the power upside of him. And if we're talking about right-handed power hitters in Boston with catching eligibility, I like Napoli this year as a 1 year. You know, if it's not, you're not keeping him, it's not a dynasty. I like Napoli. He walked 13.5% of the time, so he swings and misses, but he also can see the pitch. 24 home runs last year in 417 plate appearances. The extrapolating game is dangerous, but I think there's a lot of upside there for 1 year.
Let's talk about the new look Blue Jays. And Ryan Short, you have a player for us you want to talk about.
Well, I want to go back to Brandon Morrow.
High strikeout, high ERA.
It's going to right itself eventually, I think.
Do you think with Dickey coming in that maybe some of the pressure is off of him?
Well, I don't think, you know, I think the pressure should have been off of Morrow to begin with, because Romero going into the last season
was
the ace, so he wasn't going against.
But now there's a bona fide ace coming into town.
Yeah. It's a tricky division, of course. He figured out his walks. He really lowered his walk rate. Yeah, at the expense of some strikeouts. Maybe he was pitching more as opposed to throwing, but that's not a bad thing. I think if he learns how to pitch, he can go back.
He's not doing the Oliver Perez anymore.
To throwing. I agree. I think if he can learn how to pitch, his arm's still there to dial it in when he needs to.
Great arm.
And that offense is going to score. I know we talk about wins being fluky,
but his buddy Henderson Alvarez isn't there anymore.
Oh God,
Henderson.
I mean, they were bunk buddies.
Okay. The worst. They were roommates on road trips.
I'd be most concerned about who's going to close his leads.
It could be Santos. It could be Jansen. It's probably Jansen to start.
It probably is.
It's not exciting either way.
It's not exciting at all. Saves count, but we're not looking at those two. I like Morrow heading into the year. I think where you're getting him, it's a name to target.
I would agree. I think that he can be probably a good four on your fantasy team. Player I want to talk about is Brett Laurie. A lot of fantasy owners or a lot of fantasy experts were insanely high on this young player last year. Probably way too high on him. Not probably, but they were. I wrote an article on him last year to have some caution with him when you're drafting and with your expectations. And I don't think it's fair to take to do the extrapolation game with these players who haven't shown anything in the majors yet. It doesn't matter what they've done in the minors. They need to show you something in the majors. And then it comes back to that Mike Trout thing. He's shown us something in the majors, but let's not get too excited. And this is different than the Lurie thing, because Lurie has what he showed in 2011, it was such a smaller sample than what Mike Trout has done in 2012. But there's still something to be said about just being careful about young players. That being said, though, I think this is a year that he makes a step. He makes a step forward. I think his average is probably about what it's going to be. But I think you're looking at a player who's going to be about 15 home runs, 15 to 20 home runs and 15 to 20 stolen bases.
I would tend to agree with those numbers. I see, looking at the kid, guy's built.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly sooner rather than later.
He's a Canadian bulldog.
He really is. He's got great ink too, by the way.
And he loves to play Edward Forty Hands.
Apparently, there's a lot of douchebaggy pictures of him on the internet.
There are.
Playing Edward Forty Hands shirtless. It's really weird.
With an upturned backwards baseball cap.
With the bill that's actually turned up. You know,
have you seen the picture of him in the onesie?
Is he from Lakeside?
He's from Canada.
He's from Canada, but they must have a pocket of Lakeside Santee somewhere in Canada.
Straight up. He's got all black prison ink, even though he's probably never done any time.
I want to see where he slots in.
He looks like a real piece of work.
Well, Jose Reyes,
I think he's overrated.
Jose Reyes is going to lead off.
We can.
You're probably dropping Lurie like to the 5 or 6.
I see here on Roto Champ has a projected lineup of 5th.
Yeah.
That's a prime RBI spot if he's hitting 5 behind Batista and Encarnacion.
I agree.
The protection might not be there, but he's going to get a lot of opportunities if that's where they slot him.
That's an interesting team. They really overhauled that whole lineup.
On paper, they should win the East.
Well, they really just said, we have to compete. It's been too long. Fans must be losing interest in Canada in baseball or something, because they really put all their efforts into making this team a lot better.
Well, Alex the Greek did his job, man.
I think they are a little better. And I put Lurie kind of in the category of kind of like Dustin Ackley with a little bit more power. Both players, very, very disappointing seasons last year.
I think he's a step ahead of Ackley.
I think he's
a cut above Ackley.
I think he's a cut above Ackley, but worry about him having the same problem that Ackley had. Ackley came out 2 years ago, played really, really well, and then kind of fell off a little bit.
He didn't actually play that well.
Lowry's there, Headley's there. Who do you take?
I take Lurie.
I take Lurie because I just don't believe in Padre position players.
Headley had 4 home runs 2 years ago.
I know that. You told me that 100 times.
I know.
I think I take Headley at this point.
Is it Headley's
over Lurie?
Who are you looking at on the Blue Jays?
I'm looking to see what Edwin Encarnacion does.
He's an interesting player because I think...
Kind of came out of nowhere. Absolutely
totally.
Came out of nowhere.
No, I disagree. We've known that name for a long time.
I know.
He's always had the potential to break out, and he finally did.
But was he ever named that when you heard you went, ooh, Edwin Encarnacion, scary.
No,
not until last year.
It seemed like, and I don't even know how old he is. He's probably 27. He's probably not that old.
He's 30.
He was 29 last year.
So he's 30. So he is on in years, but it seems like for 5 years we said sleeper.
When he was at the Reds,
I don't think we should be too surprised.
Well, his previous RBI high before last year was 76. His previous home run high was 26.
Well, he finally hooked
last up. Last year he hit 42 and 110.
Yeah, well, he finally hooked up with Jose Bautista, and they're doing steroids together.
You know, you can't rule it out these days, but, you know, he had a great season.
Well, I would ask you, if you got Edwin Encarnacion and Chase Headley, and I know they don't play the same position, but you want to scream regression?
Oh,
two prime candidates right there.
Well, no, Chase Headley screams it, you know, from the mountaintop.
Not sure how Chase Headley keeps coming up, but
is still a 30 home run.
But if you keep on, I don't want to talk about Chase Headley too much, but to answer Butler's question, is why is Headley ranked ahead of or ranked behind Lowry? I think that's a good thing to talk about with Encarnacion, is that Lowry is a player that is it can pretty much only go up, and Headley and Encarnacion are players that can pretty much only come down. Let's go ahead and move on to the Orioles. And Jared, what player are you looking at in the Orioles this season?
Well, I'm looking at several.
No, give me one.
I'm joking. Manny Machado.
Machado.
Machado? Machado?
Machado.
You say Machado, I say Machado.
Machado. All right. The guy came out last year.
He did?
He did.
Really?
Oh,
that kind of came
That's
out.
That's very brave.
Oh, you know...
Big League Clubhouse.
I was hoping he came out that way. We could have something else to talk about.
Respect that.
He's only 20 years old. First season, born in 1992. So he has not even a lot of baseball experience at the professional level. So he's, like Mike Trout, came out. I think he has a lot of major upside potential. He hit 7 home runs, but he only in partial...
He got a cup of coffee is what he got.
Cup of coffee. So as anybody on the Orioles, I would say he has a upside potential, but I wouldn't put too much into him. I would say a late-round flyer at best.
I think he's more than a late-round flyer. I think he's probably like a 13- or 14-round pick in a 10-team standard league. I'm putting a lot of stock in him. I think that...
Would you start him as your starting third baseman?
As my starting third baseman, no. But as a... number one bench player, probably yes.
Or shortstop. I think he's shortstop.
He's still got shortstop. I'd have him as my starting shortstop.
So you would start him as your starting shortstop.
Because shortstop is so shallow, I would take him if I miss the first like 3 or 4 guys that are shortstops.
Okay. I'd agree with that. I mean, he has potential. I mean, he has potential to hit home runs, hit for power at the shortstop position. So if he's eligible there, then he's not such a bad play at shortstop. So you would start him at shortstop. But not at third base, but you would pick him in which round?
13th or 14th. Regardless of where I was starting him, that's where I would take him.
I mean, that's a later round pick.
It's a later round pick, but it's not like a flyer pick. I wouldn't call him a flyer.
Okay.
Third base is going to be where he ultimately plays. He's going to outgo
shortstop. No, he is. Well, he's not playing shortstop at all.
Maintain it past
the Hardy's not the long-term answer there. Even once he moves on, I don't see Machado ever...
Well, that play that he made at third last year where he deked out the guy at third was phenomenal.
It was.
And yeah. I think that kind of play...
Super heady play for a young
guy. That kind of play is going to keep him at third base. A player I want to talk about is Jim Johnson. And I'm not exactly sure what to think of him going forward, so I was going to kind of ask you guys, what do you think?
Guy's got really good stuff. I mean, I didn't get a whole lot of chance to see him pitch, but when I did, he was pretty impressive. He definitely looks the part.
Nothing in the profile screams
that's what
dominant.
No, he shouldn't be this.
His K per 9 of 5.
Yeah,
is your ninth inning guy can lead to trouble if he comes in with someone on.
Mm-hmm.
If he puts one or two guys on in the inning, maybe he's not getting out of it safely. Get the home runs down. Didn't walk a whole lot.
I think the big thing that you said right there was that he kept the walks down.
Kept the walks
down. If you're not striking out anyone, you can't walk guys.
And his competition is going to be Pedro Strop that walked 5 per 9.
Yeah.
Seems pretty safe as the Orioles' ninth inning guy.
This is what, the second year that Jim Johnson's kind of been decent, though? Did he do it like for
a year and a half? He has multiple years in this role. I think this was the first time that it was just given to him.
They
had nobody else.
They had no one else at all. I think that he's in. If you're looking at a closer, you can't make him your number one.
He's not a number one. He's not.
He's got to be your number.
If you bank on 50 but, saves from a closer, you're gonna lose your league.
Yeah.
Maybe not lose it, but.
Last year was a pretty magical year for that team. They might not repeat what they did last year.
You like what Buck is doing there, but I
do.
That that team is quite there yet. They're very young.
Yeah.
Very young. And I don't think the starting pitching is all the way there yet either.
No, they got the Bundy kid, and who knows what Mattis is going to end up being. Their pitching staff kind of scares me.
There could be some bumps and bruises with Bundy. I think he eventually will be great.
He's so young. He's not even easy 20 yet.
Eventually will be great, but...
Years away, probably.
But who's to say what he's going to do this year?
Correct.
Let's move on and go to the last team in this division, last but not least, the Tampa Bay Rays. And Ryan, who do you have for me?
Well, we're going from one closer in Baltimore to another closer in Tampa. Fernando Rodney, season for the ages as a closer.
Probably the best closer that didn't get drafted.
One of the most dominant seasons from a closer that you're going to see, and that is speaking of, you know...
.6 ERA.
Kimbrel and Hoffman and Rivera. I'm talking all-time
great. And this is after losing the job in...
It was.
With the Angels.
Guy couldn't get people out, and that's all he did. You know, over the course of 162 games. Thank you, Jason Isringhausen.
Fernando Rodney saved people who didn't have a closer, a solid closer on their fantasy rosters. He was probably the pickup of the century.
Without a doubt.
I mean, if you look at his numbers, he only gave up 2 home runs in 74 at-bats. His whip was under 1.
Innings?
74 innings?
Probably the pickup of the millennium.
The millennium. Maybe of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time. His whip was under 1. His ERA was under 1. He won 2 games. I mean, that's what you're banking on, those wins from those closers.
That's right.
Those 2 wins.
He only walked 15. Yeah. I mean, he's...
What was his ERA, fellas?
Is he going to do it again?
Well, let's see. He had an ERA under 1.
He's not going to do it again.
No, his ERA will be 5 times that.
Will he have an ERA over 3
yes.
this year?
Yes.
Over 4?
No.
So he's
That's tough to do.
Between 3 and 4?
Yeah.
If it's at between 3 and 4, does he keep his closer job?
He had an ERA of 0.6. Is that right? Is that a typo?
That's right.
That's great. 5 times that.
He gave up 9 runs all year.
Oh, God.
Oh, I said Isringhausen. I meant Farnsworth.
Hey, only 5 earned runs.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about dodging bullets left and right down a year like that.
But he had a good K rate, so it wasn't like he was just smoking mirrors.
A lot of guys have good K rates.
I know.
Better than that, matter of fact. But,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure he'll have a fine season. 40 saves is not out of the question.
48 is probably out of the question.
Probably so. That's asking a lot, but... where does he rank among closers?
I think based on last year, he's easily a top 10, but I don't want to put him in the top 5 just because it's Fernando Rodney.
And it's tough to bank any closer. Just to bank that as a top 10 and he'll be there at the end of the year?
The only guy that I can go to the bank with is Kimbrel.
Well, there were... Short and I were talking about closers... when we're playing golf, and it's the hardest position to project because there's so much turnover. I mean, there's a reason why they call the closer like.
Well, they're at the mercy of their manager. No other position is as elastic as closer. If the guy's not getting,
doesn't it feel
every bullpen has even bad teams have power arms in that pen, and if the incumbent guy isn't getting it done, unless he's a guy like Rivera or. Hoffman, our guy's been doing it for forever.
But doesn't it feel like more so this year, considering Mott is being projected as like the number 2 closer? I mean, that seems crazy to me. Doesn't it?
Totally. There's just not... You don't see the track record that there used to be with closers of this is the guy and he's going to do it. We're going to run him out there. There's so much turnover that... And managers are getting yanked. You know, they're losing jobs much faster than they ever used to.
They're much quicker to...
You have to win games. You can't lose games based off your ninth inning guy.
We're going to talk about one more player on Tampa Bay, and it's going to you, Ryan. Who are we talking about? I believe it starts with a W and ends in an L.
W, young Will Myers.
One L.
Will with one L.
One L.
Yeah.
Will.
It's a quick Will. Will.
Part of the what was probably the most talked about trade of the offseason with the most... I don't know, most controversial trade. Sure. You know, a lot of people are kind of bagging on the Royals for giving up, not just him, a guy that's forgotten in the deal is Odorizzi, but...
Odor.
That's what they call him. You know, the biggest weakness with the Royals has been their pitching for a long, long time. So they go out and arguably overpay for James Shields and Wade Davis. You know, Wade Davis... Myers goes to Tampa, where there's no guarantee he's even going to start the year with the Rays. There really isn't.
I wish they would. I don't understand why they wouldn't.
Well,
you go back to that service time.
I understand that, but
not that that's right. Especially,
but you give up,
especially with that team where they can win.
If you're a fan of that team and you give up your number two pitcher for a stud prospect, and you're going to tell me, oh, we're not going to bring him up right away. That doesn't sit right with me.
Tampa's got a lot of starting pitchers though. This is a move. I'm talking about
Will Myers though.
Well, I'm talking about I wouldn't have too much heartburn over trading Shields as good as he is.
I understand that, but he's still your number two pitcher.
Yeah, he is. But you know, I'd start Myers.
Like, who are we talking about? No one's a fan of Tampa Bay. No one knows those games.
Nobody cares.
I don't think that you draft Myers in any league other than a keeper dynasty league. I think we were spoiled with Trout and to a certain extent Harper with what they did last season. I think it's unfair to Myers for the fantasy community to expect not the same, but even numbers that approach those of the other two. And his K rate was really bad last year. He also hit, I believe, in the Pacific League, which is just inflating everything.
Right.
Show me what you got, kid.
He's probably going to start in the minors, but when I look at their outfield right now, see, they got Joyce, they got Fold, and then who they got in left?
Well, Fold is going to fold.
And they got Jennings. Jennings is going to start. There's still question marks surrounding Joyce and Fold.
Well, Fold is the weakest.
Absolutely. I could see Joyce moving to center.
Jennings is coming up to play. Jennings is staying in center.
They got Jennings lifted in left field on the depth chart.
Yeah, but he's going to be in center.
I think he's a center.
I could easily see Myers getting called up because I'm not in love with that outfield.
No, it's not a strong outfield.
No, especially because Joyce was a platoon player.
Jennings is young and he had a bad season last year, and Fold was terrible last
Jennings could be enough to delay Myers just in his, you know, in his first season out of the game.
Yeah, I don't see them yanking really Jennings around. He's going to, I think Jennings he's going to stay.
He stayed there for a long time. Until he was 26?
Really?
27?
Maybe he was 27 now.
No, but I believe he was in the minors until he was about 26 years old.
Yeah, Myers isn't the stone cold lock that a lot of people are making him out to be. You know, there's still questions about his ability to handle the inside fastball and things like that. Sounds like it might be similar situation to what happened in San Diego with Anthony Rizzo.
You guys want to jump into the email bag?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do the email bag.
We've got mail.
We have a question from Michael Peterson in Colorado, and he wants to know, in a dynasty league, he has Tulo and Bruce, and he wants to trade for Giancarlo and Starlin Castro. What do we think about this trade?
Do it, Mike.
I say he does it and doesn't think twice about it.
Yeah.
And
specifically by do it, yes, get the Stanton and Castro.
Yeah, I think if you get Stanton and Castro, that's the better side.
They're younger. If it's a dynasty league, that's great. And I think they're already better.
Yeah.
Tulo's such an injury risk anymore, man.
Tulo's injury risk. I'm not sure how much longer he'd even be in Colorado. Colorado's going in the wrong direction as far as a team.
How much longer can you expect Bruce to like improve?
Well, we talked about it in the previous podcast. I'm waiting for him to improve, to get over the hump, finally drive in 100 runs, finally have a respectable average.
Right, I don't think his skill set improves at all. I think he is what he is. Situations will dictate what his numbers end up being. If he has more runners on in front of him, whatever. Votto was hurt for a lot of last year. So, to be fair to Bruce,
But
you probably should have gotten to the 100 RBI mark.
Upper echelon players tend to be good even without other good players around them.
Agreed. And then what, Starlin Castro, if you're going to compare Castro to Tulo since they both play shortstop, so you're kind of, yeah, okay. Besides the fact that Castro is dreaming while he's on the field during the two-strike count, he's what, 6 years younger than Troy Tulowitzki, doesn't have an injury history.
Yeah, and he probably
hits with the same amount of average, and he's less power and less RBI potential, but he'll steal more bases. He gets on base more.
More hits.
Yeah.
I would like to get my hands on Stanton in that trade. I mean,
yeah, you just want to get your hands on Stanton.
Thank you. I wanted to say it, but
yeah, right. I knew one of you guys were going to say it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's
all right. So Mike,
leave it to Jared.
Pretty Mike, big do dad. The trade. Mike, do the trade. Dale from Orlando has a question for us, and he says, out of the new crop of first basemen, Goldschmidt, Hosmer, Rizzo, and Freeman, who do you see having the greatest short-term value? Who do you see having the longest impact? So let's start off with the short-term value. I think Goldschmidt immediately has the most value short-term. I think he's the most polished so far. I think he's probably going to have the most home runs and probably the most steals, even batting average. I think he's the full package right now from the young pitcher, young first baseman, young hitter.
Short-term, I think you're right. It's got to be Goldschmidt, hands down. It's in the best park. He has done it already, I'd say. And he's a stat filler by all five categories. I mean, 15 is not a lot of stolen bases relative to the other players in the league.
No, but if you get that many steals out of your first baseman, exactly.
18?
You're way ahead. First baseman? Last year, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're expecting a few less.
And you know how it is. A lot of times these big guys who don't appear to be all that fast, when they come on the scene, they'll have a number of steals, and then they just stop running. That'll probably be the case with him.
Goldschmidt also had to work his way out of a platoon at the beginning of last season.
Right.
They didn't want to let him on the field full time.
Overbay?
It could have been Overbay, but whatever.
I don't think Overbay was
Kirk there. Gibson thought he knew, he was wrong.
He was wrong.
Goldie got out of there, you know, relatively unscathed.
So we all agree that Goldschmidt is probably the best short-term
he's the one I feel most comfortable with.
Okay, so what about long-term impact? And I think a couple of us are split on this. I say it's probably Rizzo or Freeman. Ryan, what do you say?
We had discussed this before we came on with this tonight, and I said Rizzo, Freeman, and I'm going to backtrack a little. I want to go all in on Hosmer. I think he profiles out to be a better player. He had the same walk and strikeout numbers last year. I don't know if it was a sophomore slump, if pitchers found a hole in his swing, whatever it was. I have faith that he makes an adjustment, and like Goldschmidt, he has the ability to run too. I like Hosmer.
Okay, what about Jared? What do you think of his long-term?
I think it's Paul Goldschmidt. Okay. I think he's all in all a better player than Rizzo. We've seen a decent season out of him last year. He struggled in San Diego. He's still going to have high K numbers. He did rake in the minors.
Mm-hmm.
I think Goldschmidt is possibly a better major league player,
mm-hmm.
Especially because I think he'll hit for
a higher average.
And I think he'll hit a higher average than Freddie Freeman as well, even though Freddie Freeman fixed his eye issues.
Yeah.
I think potentially he has, you know, the potential to hit, you know, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs for years to come.
Okay, and Butler, before we get out of here, what do you say?
I'm on with Goldschmidt.
All right, so man, a few words. Dale, Goldschmidt seems to be the guy for now, possibly even for later. Also, Hosmer seems to be a guy you might want to look at long term. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Rotoballs, and email us any questions at rotoballs.brian@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening, folks.